You're the Lord of my life. You're the Lord of my life.
In the last three lessons, I've shared with you that when we confess Jesus as Lord with our mouths, that means that we're asking Him to be the supreme ruler who has complete authority, power, and control over everything we are and everything we have. But I've also shared with you that in order to test our lives, to make sure that what we say with our mouths is being lived out in our lives, we should take a life exam on a regular basis by using the four letters in the word life, L-I-F-E, to examine four areas of our lives to see if we're allowing Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. In part two of this series, we use the letter L to examine our lives by asking this question: is Jesus Christ the Lord of our lips, or the words that come out of our mouths? In part three, we use the letter I to examine our lives by asking this question: is Jesus Christ the Lord of our ideas, or the thoughts that dwell in our minds? Today, I'd like to share with you another area of our lives that I believe Jesus wants to be the Lord of. As I mentioned to you in the last lesson, this area starts with the letter F, and God's word says that we should watch over it and shield it from danger, for it is where life comes from. The letter F in our life exam will help us to examine our feelings. A feeling is an emotion or a specific mood we're in. For centuries, mankind has believed that the internal source from which our feelings or emotions and moods comes from is the heart. That's why I believe King Solomon tells us in Proverbs 4:23 that above everything else, guard or watch over and shield from danger your heart, the eternal source of our feelings, for it is where life comes from. With these thoughts in mind, here's our third life exam question: is Jesus Christ the Lord of your feelings? As I think about the feelings or the emotions and mood that come from my heart, I sometimes find myself feeling a little confused about what my true feelings really are. There have been times when I felt confident that I was doing something for the right reason, but when I took the time to really examine my feelings and motives, God revealed to me that I was actually doing what I did for selfish purposes. There have also been times when I knew that I did the right thing, but I also knew that I wasn't doing it for the right reason, with the right heart. Somehow, in those moments, I would talk myself into feeling good about it, at least until I would allow the Spirit of God to convict and remind me that what I was feeling was wrong. I've even said and heard others say things like this: why does doing the wrong thing in some situations feel so right in my heart? Or why is it that when I try to do what God wants me to do to glorify Him, I also get this feeling in my heart of wanting to do it to glorify myself? To be honest with you, I've even struggled with this last question as I've been putting together this series of messages and music. Part of me feels very strong that I'm doing this to glorify God, but part of me also feels that desire to do it to get glory for myself. As I seek to find answers to these questions and others like them, I believe the Word of God tells us that God does understand our hearts and the feelings, emotions, and moods that come out of our hearts. And that's why He tells us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? But then in the next verse, verse 10 of Jeremiah 17, God answers His own question with this statement: I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. This is why I think it's important for us to understand that even though our hearts and the feelings, emotions, and moods that come out of our hearts are sometimes deceitful and hard for us to understand, God, on the other hand, doesn't have any problem understanding our hearts. And this is exactly what King David told his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, when he said this: for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. So, if we feel in our hearts that what we're doing is right, but God's word says what we're doing is wrong, God, who searches and understands our hearts, will give the final judgment on whether or not the feelings in our hearts are godly or ungodly. And He'll give us what our deeds deserve, either blessing or discipline. Also, if we know that the feelings in our hearts are selfish, but we go ahead and do what God wants us to do so we can impress others or justify ourselves in our own eyes, God will still give the final judgment on whether or not the feelings in our hearts are godly or ungodly, and He'll give us what our deeds deserve. A good example of the last scenario is when the Pharisees seemed like they were doing what God's word said, but in reality, the feelings in their hearts were self-glorifying. Here's what Jesus said to them in Matthew 15, verses 7 and 8. "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." What a challenging judgment Jesus makes about these people. He said they honored him with their lips, which means that they were saying things that sounded like God was highly important to them and that he deserved the credit for the good things that were happening for them and in them. But their hearts were far from him, meaning that the feelings in their hearts were not genuine or that they didn't match what their lips were saying. In actuality, their hearts were going in the opposite direction than what their lips were speaking. Instead of having feelings that were wanting to honor God, their feelings were more concerned about honoring themselves. In my opinion, the only thing that makes this judgment more devastating is that I've heard Jesus make this same judgment about me. Over the last 20 plus years of serving him, I'm sure I've heard him make this judgment about me literally thousands of times. Times when I was saying and or doing things that were supposed to bring honor to him, but in my heart, the feelings that were motivating me to say and do those things were all about getting honor for myself. When we live like this and we don't guard our hearts, we'll allow evil feelings like these to enter our hearts. And in time, our lives will reflect that Jesus isn't the Lord of our lives because we'll live on the outside. The things that Jesus said comes from the inside. In Mark 7, 21 to 23, Jesus said this, "For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." So when we have feelings of pride, arrogance, boastfulness, selfishness, and self-righteousness, feelings of anger, rage, bitterness, revenge, jealousy, and envy, we have feelings of ungratefulness, arrogance, and impatience, or feelings of apathy, boredom, and complacency, we can know for sure that we haven't been guarding our hearts, and our lives, as far as what we do, will eventually reflect that Jesus isn't the Lord of our lives. When I've had these feelings and I've lived my life like this, God has been gracious enough to humble me enough so that I could hear him challenge me and the feelings that were overflowing from my heart. Initially, when God challenges me in situations like this, the overwhelming feelings in my heart are usually guilt, embarrassment, sadness, and even anger. Feelings that I wish I never had to feel. But time and time again, through his love and forgiveness, he's allowed me to continue to be in a relationship with him, and he's drawn my heart closer to his heart so he can shape my heart to feel the feelings that he wants me to feel. Now, when we guard our hearts and we allow godly things to enter and dwell in it, we'll do what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verses 10 and 11, when he said this, "I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." When we guard and fill our hearts with God and his word, the feelings that will flow from our hearts will be like the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians 5:22-23. Feelings of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Along with these, we'll also have feelings of sincerity, compassion, humility, self-sacrifice, forgiveness, hope, and grace. when these and other godly feelings are flowing from our hearts, they'll not only reveal that we are guarding our hearts, but by the way we live our life, they'll also reveal that Jesus is the Lord of our feelings. So, what kind of feelings are overflowing from your heart? Are they godly or ungodly feelings? Are they self-honoring feelings or God-honoring feelings? As you examine your opinions on why certain feelings come from your heart, do your opinions reveal that you bought into the lie, Satan's lie, that you can't control your feelings? Or the lie that he tells that people, things, and circumstances make you feel a certain way? Well, the truth of the matter is this. Even though controlling our feelings is impossible for us to do without God's help, and people, things, and circumstances can be used as a powerful temptation to lure us to feel a certain way, God has provided a way so we don't have to give in to the ungodly feelings that dwell and overflow from our hearts. And he also can give us power to control and choose the feelings that come out of our hearts. In order to receive these kinds of provisions and power from God, so we can be able to control and choose the feelings that come from our hearts, we'll need to stay connected with him through doing things like reading his word, praying, submitting to his spirit, and receiving encouragement and support from other believers. If we'll genuinely commit ourselves to doing these things, God will empower us so we won't have to be enslaved anymore by ungodly emotions and moods. And when we allow him to do this, we'll be able to live lives that reflect that Jesus is the Lord of our feelings. In the next lesson, we'll talk about the fourth and final area of our lives that I believe Jesus wants to be the Lord of. This area begins with the letter E. And God's word says that when each person stands before Jesus, this area of their life will determine what they'll receive in eternity. So until the next time, let's memorize and internalize the prayers of David in Psalm 51:10 and 86:11 when he prayed this. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name.
Cause we're serving his name and we're sharing.